Do you live for Sunday dinner and that slow-cooked all-day flavor of a pot roast that falls apart with a dull spoon? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I'm never shy about the proteins when it comes to Sunday dinners at our house. Every steak is aged to perfection to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
What's up, Poppy Juice?
Hello. How are
Hello. You, Hello. Oh, my God. Busy. Busy little B-let.
Seems like it, but
I
that's
know.
What we
She's
like.
Running around.
It beats being bored, right?
It does. It really does. Yeah. She's running around. She's running around on her computer with her head cut off.
Jordan just keeps running around. Running around.
Running around.
Running around. Jordan's always running
Here we
around.
Go. Running around, running around through your house like the Tomb Raider test on the bottom channel.
Looks good to me.
Great. Beautiful. We love to see it.
Welcome back to The Kibitz, the weekly podcast where a pedantic yapper and a bimbo genius chit-chat about whatever the hell we want. I'm Connor Goldsmith.
I'm Jordan Block. How's the fucking vibe, dude?
How are we doing today? I'm all right. I'm sitting outside because I'm still in Florida.
Yes, we love to see it.
It is brisk, but I'm just trying to remind myself it's not January in New York, so I will sit outside
absolutely.
In a t-shirt and shorts, and I will feel good about it, even if it's
beautiful,
dark
beautiful, as you should, baby.
I have screens down, so bugs are away.
Oh, baby, Florida bugs. You don't want to play. You don't want to get started.
Well, one needs a lanai in Florida,
no,
like Blanche Devereaux herself.
Absolutely.
Gotta have the screens
no, you need to be netted.
Come down.
You need to be netted and abetted, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Abet the horrors. Abet the bugs. I love this. I love that you're having a brisk moment. It is fucking gorgeous over here. I'm queening out with the weather right now.
How have you been generally? I know you've been busy. You've been a busy little bee.
I know. I have been the busiest little bee with the best little news because your girl's newsletter has finally launched. Oh my God. Bad bitch coming through in your eye holes.
Jordan's newsletter is back.
Jordan's newsletter, it's back. She's called The Uptake. She is on Substack. And it feels so good to have it back. It's been like a project in the making. I've like really been waiting for like a time where like I could think about like how I want to do it now, being like really thoughtful about like what's like sustainably consistent, because like my big problem with it before is I was like working corporate full time and it was too much. Girl had less time, but now that I'm back to freelancing, I can like dedicate more time to it. And I took some time doing like a little refresh rebrand on it, did some like polishing up, thinking about the structure of it, and I feel like so excited mostly because I'm mostly editing now and like my freelance work to be able to write more.
So writing your own stuff is fun.
It is. It is. I love it. And I've been missing it so much. The newsletter I love because like my favorite thing about it is that I can do it like purely in my voice without kind of like editorial kind of like polish or whatever.
It's more of a Professor Diva experience than
it is.
Nature magazine Absolutely. Experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like somewhere between like Popular Science and Professor Diva,
yeah,
which
slightly,
is like
I would say slightly more demure.
Yeah,
than
it's
Professor
it's a
Diva.
Little more demure. Yeah, she doesn't have a mini skirt on, but she does have a pencil skirt
she
on.
She owns one though, and there's
she
and
does.
There is a pencil
she
skirt
does.
At the
and
moment.
And it's gonna come out sometimes. That means
right,
some
but after
times.
Hours probably.
Absolutely, after hours mini.
If you're
skirt.
An annual subscriber.
Uh huh. Annual subscribers get the mini skirt on, baby. So I'm super excited for that.
Well, there is a link to that in the show notes to this episode. Yes. And also, quite honestly, probably to the show notes for a while. Because I feel
cross-promote
for a minute.
Yeah, no, that is why we're here in part.
Yeah.
Like, we're here for you all.
You best believe when the pre-order link for my comic drops.
Uh-huh.
That's that link
gonna
is going
to be in the show notes day for a year. One thing we are going to tell you to do is buy our other shit.
Buy our other shit because your girls are freelance. And we
your girls are freelance.
And to be quite honest, this thing that we're doing for you right now, this is not the thing that makes the money unless you make it the thing that
makes
the
money
by purchasing other things and supporting the podcast on Patreon.
Thank you so much. Exactly. Funnel your money into our freelance activities so we can keep doing the thing that we love to do, which is bringing you this beautiful podcast.
Those like robot ads for mattresses are not going to keep a roof over anyone's head.
They are not. They're just not. Certainly not mine. Mine's expensive as hell.
So
so is yours. Yeah, think about that. Let that.
I have a mortgage.
Maybe. She has a mortgage now. She's a home-ownstress. Exactly. I do not, but I got bills. I got tits
to
bills.
Keep. You got some bills.
Can you pay my bills? No, but yeah, we'll have the link in the show notes. And for like a little preview of what the newsletter has, I'll be doing weekly, like a little digest. Mm-hmm. Where I like round up all of like the top news stories of the week. So it's more kind of like newsy than what you get here. I'm also bringing the Ask a Science Journalist column to that as well. So if you don't want to ask on air, you can ask on paper. And we love to see that. But my favorite thing to do is like long form editorial style, like diving deep into like the nuance in a science story. So I'm going to be doing a lot more of that, too. And that's for the paid subscribers. Weekly roundups are free. So if you're broke, which you know your girl is, so I get it.
Yeah, like, it's not like we're judging. It's
stupid. Same, bitch. Couldn't possibly judge. My house is all glass.
The empire's on fire. I don't know if you've noticed.
I don't know if you've noticed. We're all going the fuck through it. So it's very real and your girl gets it. But if you're broke, but also because I believe that like public health information and like access to like important scientific information that affects your lives should be free. So that's always going to be free. But like the real meaty shit, you do got to pay your girl for that. And if you just want to support your girl, you can pay for that too. But I'm so excited to see y'all see me on the page a little bit more. So yeah, subscribe to that bitch today.
Today, like right now.
Today, right now. Pause. Go do it right
now.
Thank you so much.
And then come back.
Yeah. And then come back. And we'll be right here waiting for you. Right here. Sumptuous. How's your life, Connor?
My life's been good. The big press release for the comic is soon. So
sending
my changes and things to the, can we phrase it this way or whatever, you know, like the little editorial things that you get to do when it's a press release about you, which I've never had really before. I mean, I had, I guess there were like press releases when I was promoted as an agent, but those were to like Publishers Weekly, not those were the trades. People were reading those who were like, you know, it wasn't like for the public.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
no, that makes sense, yeah. Babe.
I wasn't trying to sell anything, whereas now
Pre-order that.
Yeah.
There's a link in there.
So details will be coming your way soon, probably by the time you hear this, but I will say, I can tell you this definitively, that the book will be announced by the end of this month.
On God.
It's exciting.
Yes, baby.
I finally, like, I have like the PDF of the first issue that's like completely done. Like all of it's like what it will look like forever. It's like here, and it's crazy to look.
Baby, I'm going to bust a nut. I'm going to lose my
shit. It's so exciting. I'm like,
I'm going to come.
I know.
Like, baby's in print out in the world. We love to see it.
So soon.
So
this summer, it's going to be really crazy because...
Yeah, it's going to be nuts-so-fuck-so.
It's going to be May onward.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, shit. Babe. Babe, we're going to be in promotion season this summer.
This summer is going to be real hot.
Yeah, real hot, baby. Hottest summer on record. We are celebrating. We are celebrating the house.
What has been exciting you in culture this week, my love?
Oh my God, there's so much in culture, baby. There's so much. Okay, first, I think, like, low-hanging fruit. I am so happy about the Golden Globes that just happened. Again, just continuing.
Great Golden Globes.
Great Golden Globes. Who's that girl who hosted again?
Nikki Glaser. I like her.
Nikki Glaser. I like her. I like that she's back hosting. I think she did, like, she, like, hosted one of the first, like, interesting Golden Globes I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Like, from a
they
show
were like,
perspective.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
I
like,
know.
We'll get
I was
back,
like, oh, thank
then.
God. Yes,
right.
Exactly. No, that was a check that needed to be reset, and I'm so glad it was because she's so fun.
I do think a woman should always host the Golden Globes.
Yeah. I don't need to be seeing a man.
I get that, like, for the Oscars, you want, like, a showman guy doing, like, a yuckstery thing. Like,
yeah.
There's certain shows where I get, but, like, the Golden Globes.
I want
Globes
Regina Hall.
I mean, at every show, it should be Regina
Thank
Hall.
You. Exactly.
Everything.
But that's
exactly. Neither here nor there.
Exactly. Because she needs to be awarded this year.
Yes. This year, I would like her to be winning things. That movie, unfortunately, that cast is so huge and stacked
it's
that
so
they're just all competing
stacked.
With each other. But
I, know,
I think it's
exactly.
exciting that all of them got a boost from this movie.
Exactly. As they should. As
yeah.
they fucking should. Especially, you know, I am like Regina Hall's
especially
press secretary.
Tiana Taylor, obviously, who
yes,
won.
And Tiana. Oh, Tiana. Like, literally, I cried. My girl.
One
my
of the
girl.
Best dressed, too.
Oh, absolutely. In
I
history.
Thought that dress
in
was
every
stunning.
Single thing she does. So good. So good. The fucking crystal thong with the bow.
It was so cute. My favorite my dress queen. Of the night, though, was Renata Reinsva with that
yes.
silver thing. That
uh-huh.
She loves a fashion moment like where she's like,
she
I
does.
Can't really move, but I look incredible. And you're like, great. That is what
great,
a red
perfect.
Carpet is for.
Exactly.
You're about to
exactly.
sit in a chair for 5 hours. So you,
you
don't
are,
need to
exactly.
be like super mobile. I get that.
Uh-huh.
But I was happy for her. Basically, my feeling on any of these awards is that if Amy Madigan does not win, then Tiana Taylor must win and vice
uh-huh.
versa. And yeah. everybody else, it's not their fault, but it just isn't your year for me. Not in my household anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly.
As most homosexuals will agree, Best Supporting Actress is really the only race I care about that much
yep.
every year. So it's just really where most of my attention is.
Uh-huh. It's the all of award season is just us supporting actresses for Best
yes,
Supporting Actress.
For Best Supporting yeah. Actress. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, actually, the
yeah.
problem Regina has is she actually had a supporting part and you can't win anymore in a support role
no,
in Best Supporting
no,
Actress.
Absolutely.
You have to be...
no.
the second
the
most important character in the
exactly.
film, but a woman.
Mm-hmm. exactly. Uh-huh. You just
that
simply
used to
have...
be like the worst this year is Hamnet. Paul
yeah.
Mescal
oh,
running
exactly.
and supporting is
uh-huh.
absurd.
Psycho, I'm obsessed. Shakespeare supporting.
And I like it in this case because it means that it like doesn't overshadow the woman's performance is kind
exactly.
of the way it's being positioned.
Which is the
and usually that goes the other way. Like usually
yeah.
it's the man and then the woman who's absolutely the female lead runs in supporting.
No, exactly.
Last year, I mean, it was like Ariana Grande running in supporting was crazy, but I get
uh-huh.
that you don't want to blow up Cynthia Erivo's, like, you don't want to split their vote.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes
exactly.
sense. But like All About Eve, they both ran.
Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh.
You know?
I know.
Like,
it's like
they used to do that.
yeah. This movie, it makes so much sense though, because that was Jesse's movie. Like that
it was
her film.
And so I
it
get
was.
It, but I was like, he's in a lot of that movie.
Exactly.
The idea that
he
it's a supporting
is.
Performance is pretty crazy.
Uh-huh. As William Shakespeare.
he has a lot of scenes by himself. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like that's not really a supporting
Exactly.
role.
And you know, he knew that from the outset since they do not name him in that movie.
no,
no, the
of course.
Name
that,
was.
I guess, I suppose he doesn't get a name. So that is.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be lead with no name.
But I feel like the supporting male performance in that movie is like the kid. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, right. Thank you. Like... exactly. Why are you boxing out the kid vote?
right. It's just like, that's what an actual supporting performance is supposed to be. But we lost the plot on that a long time ago.
Yeah, we really
in
did.
In general, just a great Globes. I was happy with pretty much everybody who won. I can't think of anyone where I was like, oh, that's not what I would have liked. Even if it wasn't like my personal favorite each time, I was like, yeah, solid, good choice.
Right. exactly.
Leonardo DiCaprio had the most bisexual moment I've
he
ever
sure
seen him get
did.
Caught on camera. And that
uh-huh.
I loved.
The way I invoke
the way that we truly manifested by debating this question on the
air
for him to just be like, okay, these faggots weren't sure, so I just need them to know I'm family. And then I'm going to go back to fucking Gigi Hadid, but they need to know for this one commercial break.
They need to know that I'm community. Exactly. He said, give Jordan a layup, please.
It's Bradley Cooper fucking Gigi Hadid, but you know what I mean. It used to be Leo DiCaprio fucking Gigi Hadid, and then she got too old.
You know what? Exactly. She goes around. She goes around town.
As she should. I have no problem with that whatsoever. If I were Gigi Hadid, I would be fucking every Gen X movie star there is. That would be my beat.
I would be bearded out coast to coast.
Every Gen X bisexual who needs a supermodel to date. Because if I'm Gigi Hadid and my sister is now like the supermodel around.
The supermodel
in
history.
And I was first.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly.
I will gracefully dip out with my child and do like a couple campaigns, look cute, and date movie stars. That's what I would want to be doing if I were her.
Thank you. Exactly. And that is, and given the fact that she cannot model, I think that's exactly where she should be.
I've always thought she was fine. She's not as good as Bella. She's not. She knows.
She's not. She's not.
She knows.
She's not. She knows. Exactly. You know what? Beautiful girl. Gorgeous gal.
Oh, one of the most beautiful girls we have.
Exactly.
But not a catwalk model. You're right.
It's, not you're a catwalk. No, she's absolutely. She's not runway.
She's not runway. But in print, I think she's really good. I think she's really good in print.
You
but
know
not
what?
For
she's
like
gorgeous.
Couture, necessarily.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Like, I'll give her that.
I think she is. Here's what I'll say. If she was a catalog model, she would be the catalog model.
Thank you. And that's a great niche.
It is.
That's a great niche. That's an expensive niche.
It's a very expensive niche. And I think that she actually, once she does marry Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Insane sentence.
Should probably launch a lifestyle brand?
I think so. She's on her way. You know she's on her way.
Because like I do feel like Hadid Cooper, the like cute lifestyle brand that she models herself on her website, and she's in like a sweater
absolutely.
And she's like making a jam. That's
thank you. Bread for beards.
I really love that for her.
Yeah.
Also, quite honestly, having watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for many years, if you managed to survive being raised by Yolanda Hadid, I think that you should take whoever's money you want and escape into the night.
Thank you. Exactly.
That's one
Please.
Of the most terrifying mother-daughter relationships I've really ever seen depicted on television. Right.
Yeah, it's
it would
dark.
Not be. I,
it's
that, it's not. It's not great. It's not great.
No,
so,
it's not my favorite.
You know, I would. I support her doing whatever makes her feel better.
Yep, thank you. I'm here for it. But anyways, yeah, great Golden Globes. I had
great Golden Globes.
Uh-huh.
Also at the Golden Globes were the stars of Heated Rivalry, who, let's be honest, they're adorable, but I do think we need to stop a little bit right now because it's getting crazy. Like, don't force them to do bits on stage at the Golden Globes. They've been famous for like 3 seconds and they're so nervous and you can tell.
I know, poor babies. No, they are truly on the cracked out ascension.
It's insane. There hasn't been a moment like this with like You're Famous Now. I think Euphoria was really the last time that
probably.
A whole cast just became famous suddenly.
Literally overnight.
Like
literally
apart from Zendaya, who we all knew already, but not the way that we did afterward.
Exactly.
Everybody else, it was like, who? The most famous person in the world.
It's been a long time since I've seen Dita A-list ascension like this.
Yeah, like that was the last
one rapidity.
I could think of where it happened that fast. And I love it for this gay guy and this clearly not gay guy, as they both refuse to answer the are we gay question. And people I've seen, of course, all kinds of people complaining about queer baiting and this and that and the other thing. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and be really real.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think there is any straight male actor whose career benefits from him choosing not to say whether or not he is gay. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't think Jack Fallahy for the first couple years of How to Get Away with Murder was like
Thank
hurting
you.
The gay community by not telling us he was straight.
Right.
Because it's not like playing a gay guy on a TV show and having gay sex scenes is going to really boost your Q factor.
Thank you.
For CAA to hire you as a romantic lead as a straight
guy. Thank
you. So I just don't really see the issue. I honestly don't. If they were lying, that would be weird, but they're
right.
not. They're just not answering the question. And politely...
Exactly.
Connor's story is also not answering the question, because if he answered the question, then his co-star
would
be
gay.
Feel compelled to answer the question.
Yes,
but when he's gay, and everybody knows he's gay, so it's
exactly.
not weird to ask him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just not going there until it's no longer a problem.
Exactly. And Connor's story is deaf in the camp. I can't remember who else we were talking about this in the same capacity. But like Connor's story is like, why would I have to?
He
I'm dancing around
to.
A fucking like
and
a virgin.
I think it's rude.
Have you heard me talk?
It was like a prayer, which is even gayer. Like
a prayer, yeah.
I mean, I just like don't understand. What's driving me a little nuts is that I don't feel like it's gay men leading that charge. And I do think that leave it alone.
It's a little bit like trying to investigate who
they're dating. This isn't your business. Like, write fanfic if you want, but they're not. You don't own them. You just don't.
Right, exactly. Oh, my God. Like, speaking of, I, like, tweeted out, like, when he was, like, originally, like, oh, I'm not commenting on, like, my sexuality. I, like, tweeted, like, gay and stubborn. I love that so much. Because I'm like, yeah, you don't have to. You're gay.
Yeah, you're gay.
No,
and that's fine.
You're gay. Exactly. It's like you don't have to do shit. I'm not blind, but you don't have to do shit.
Also, I don't think any gay actor is required to make a statement about
exactly.
being gay. I just don't.
No, thank
I think
you.
It's cool when they do, because I think that helps people. But I don't think there is a moral obligation to do that. I think they have a moral obligation to not lie. I think bearding
exactly.
is bullshit.
Thank you. Exactly.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
As long
exactly.
as someone's lying,
period.
It's truly none of our fucking business.
Exactly. Truly, and I truly could not care less.
No, I don't give a
shit. Exactly. I'm not fucking him. I don't care.
Right.
Exactly.
Until I'm the 40-year-old man allegedly fucking Connor's story, it is truly not my business. And quite honestly, he's very sexy, but we have the same name, and I think that might just be too weird for me.
Oh my, yeah, no, exactly.
Like, I've never done that, and that feels weird.
I can't do that. I'm never dating a Jordan. I'm sorry. It's just like, there can only be one head bitch in charge.
I know lesbians who've done that. I know a Chloe married to a Chloe.
Uh-huh.
And like that,
that's very lesbian core.
Yeah, it just feels this weird to me. I feel like a gay man dating or fucking even someone with the same name as him is a little bit... It just feels narcissistic in a way that, like,
it does.
You know that the
absolutely.
Lesbians who are
that's
both
driven.
Named Chloe are just like, well, I know, it's funny and a little embarrassing, but God, I love her.
God, I love her. You know what? It was actually a hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, like,
and
if gay men do it, it's like,
if there's,
no,
like,
you
two
love this
gay
shit.
Men named
Dan,
Billy are together. Mm-hmm. Dan is such a moment. That would...
I know. Dan
you know
on
a Dan.
Dan
will date a Dan. Dan on Dan action.
Uh-huh. You know they will. You know they will. Oh, my God. And they'll fucking... They'll, like, have a joint Instagram account about it.
Yes, and it'll be called Two Dans, One Something.
Uh-huh.
And they'll,
it's
going to
be
like,
called D Squared.
Oh, fucking A. You're so right.
I know, baby.
I'm just saying
you.
There's a sinister quality to a Dan
absolutely.
On Dan that there isn't to a Chloe on Chloe. And
yeah.
Particularly because I'm named Connor because it's a family name, and Connor's story is named Connor because Irish names got trendy in the 90s. Mm. We're like two successive waves of that name. It would make me feel
exactly.
old to be like, you're a Connor inspired by people my age.
Uh-huh.
I love
the deep analysis.
The thing is, when someone is being placed in your face repeatedly as like, this is the sexiest person right now who you would like to maybe have sex with, and everyone's talking about it, you start thinking, would I like to have sex with this person? And mechanically, absolutely. But then you start thinking about the logistics. That's all.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That makes it. You know what? You're being forced to.
Yeah, it's a question that's being posed, I would say.
Absolutely. Posed unto you.
The funniest thing to me is the interview Hudson did with Andy Cohen and John Hill.
Oh, bitch, that went rounds, baby.
Where they were talking about the experience of it all, and again, without him saying, I'm not gay, but... It was, I thought, pretty clear, the conversation in the room. It's two gay guys interviewing him, and he's being funny, but, like, clearly a straight guy who's cool. Like, I don't know. It was just very obvious to me, the whole dynamic, as much of the press tour has been.
Yeah.
But he mentioned that a number of closeted professional athletes, and he mentioned like several different major sports, have reached out to him specifically, thanking him for this and whatnot. And like, it's just so funny to me because, of course, they're emailing the straight one because he plays
the
bottom.
Oh my God.
And they have no gator.
The fucking moon. That sent me to the fucking moon.
It's just because he plays the bottom. That's so funny to
Thank
me.
You. It's so funny.
Because the other one is the gay one who you should reach out to if you want support. Uh-huh. But this one plays the bottom. So you emailed him like, hey, I have to confess my deepest anxieties to you, gay guy from the gay sports show.
Right. It's so funny. And then to choose Hudson.
This is what happens when you are the one gay guy you know because you're a professional athlete.
I think it's fucking hilarious.
You
Dumb
have
as
no
rocks
ability
athletes.
To detect. God bless.
Dumb as rocks athletes. That tweet set me into the moon because it is. It's truly, it's CTE behavior to see Hudson and think, obviously, must be the gay one. No sense of nuance. No
oh,
sense,
I didn't
no
even
gay.
See the tweet. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah,
so
that
funny.
Is, it is, something's wrong.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Something's
no, there
off.
Was a Bible. There was a viral tweet that said dumb as rocks athletes DMing Hudson because he played a bottom.
Oh, so okay, that was exactly my thought. Was I was like, it's
yes.
just because he's the bottom.
I love it. I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed with the toxic mom friend group drama that erupted last week.
Yes.
Ashley Tisdale, former Disney star, current floptress, published an essay in The Cut about leaving behind a toxic group of mom friends and how it's okay to leave behind a group that isn't serving you. And, you know, she just noticed that these women weren't including her in things and then they were all doing things without her. And she just decided to leave the group chat and tell them all, I get it. You don't want to invite me to things. So I'm just going to dip out and whatever. It's okay. It's healthy to move on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Especially coming from Ashley Tisdale.
So if you're unfamiliar with Ashley Tisdale, because I'm a little too old for High School Musical, actually. It hit when I was in college, I think.
Uh-huh. You weren't in high school for that musical.
Right. Exactly. I believe I was out of high school for that musical. Or I might have been like a high school senior for that musical and not locked in. But
yeah.
Point is, she played the villainess, Sharpay, and then immediately fell off the face of the earth because Jennifer Grey style, she got a nose job that made her fully unrecognizable.
Yep. Yeah.
And I have felt bad about Ashley Tisdale's tragic nose job all this time because I was like, man, you didn't have to do that. And now here we are. And here we've been now for years because she's 40, I believe, at this point.
I know.
And hasn't done much else. And, you know, she was one of those people who was like, oh, it'd be nice to see Ashley Tisdale do something. You know, you see Zac Efron being a big star. You see Vanessa Hudgens every now and then do something big. It would be nice. And then this all happened. And suddenly I was privy to so much more information about Ashley Tisdale than I ever previously had encountered or wished to know.
Somehow I have been inundated with Ashley Tisdale information for the past, I would say, year. I don't know what was universally going on with my algorithm, but these were hitting me like waves. That I'm like, I'm not even near a body of water. How am I being hit? How am I being splashed?
Right. It's and the aftershocks kind of keep, it's like a seismic event of just like Ashley Tisdale occurring to you again.
To me, at me.
Yeah. And I just, it's very distressing. I didn't ask for it.
No.
I never meant particularly to check in on Ashley Tisdale, but if I had, I would have done it on IMDb like a regular person to say like, what's she up
Thank
to?
You.
Or like go to Wikipedia, personal life. Has she had a kid? What's she doing? You know, like the way you check on a celebrity from 20 years ago that you, you know, are intrigued to see what's up with them. Apparently she's like super MAGA.
Yeah, no, super MAGA.
Which I
did
not know. So now I say the doctor didn't go far enough and
she deserves that
wretched little who down in Whoville nose.
Oh, exactly. And seeing like, of course, because like anyone with like a healthy, insane algorithm would not be privy to this context.
No, why would I know that? I don't see MAGA people or Ashley Tisdale. So
thank
it didn't
you.
Happen
exactly.
to me. I didn't see her eulogy for Charlie Kirk. That didn't come up in my algorithm.
Exactly. It did come up in mine because I am parentally cursed with being too online.
It's because you're Gen Z adjacent and it thinks you're on TikTok enough that it's like, this person cares about Ashley Tisdale. And you're like, I don't.
Exactly. I don't, but I'm going to know.
But
I'm
I'll know.
Click the link.
You best believe I will know.
Absolutely. Because it's something occurring in front of me. And that means I simply must know it because of my disorder.
Yeah, it's important to know.
Yeah, no, recent hits from Ashley Tisdale that I've unfortunately been privy to is one, her posting about Now and Always, We Stand with the People of Israel. That was fun.
Gotcha.
Her Charlie Kirk eulogy that came on the back of a fucking Bluey's sponsorship. That was very funny.
That's twisted. God bless.
Uh-huh. Very twisted. And the fact that I totally forgot about this until someone reminded me of it. The fact that Ashley Tisdale apparently knew the moms in the group were affected by the LA wildfires and did nothing.
And didn't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And Hillary Duff and Mandy Moore. Hillary Duff gave Mandy Moore and her family a place to stay when Mandy lost her house.
Right. Because very important. The other thing, the mom group, like a bunch of them are civilians, but like four or five of them are people much more famous than Ashley Tisdale, which is why this is a weird thing to do, in my opinion.
Exactly. Weird and stupid.
Yeah, because when Hillary Duff, Meghan Trainor, and Mandy Moore are part of this mob, which, by the way, I'm sorry, I need to go back for a second. How did Meghan Trainor get into this group?
I am so fascinated by this.
She must be really fun, right? Because everybody just does shit with her. So
exactly.
And
you know what? I don't doubt that she's a good time. I simply biologically.
There's nothing like there, really there. So she must just be a great hang. Because people are always bringing her to stuff.
She must be a good time. And you know what? I love that for her. I am honestly like in favor of a future where like Meghan Trainor is like more of a cult figure and less of a musician because I can't biologically hear her.
Need
like
the
that's
song.
Not some-
the Meghan Trainor thing I just always think of is when my dad, shout out to my dad.
Shout out to Mr. Goldsmith. I miss you, King.
He sends his love.
Thank you so much.
He walked into the kitchen and looked at me. This was the summer that All About That Bass was the biggest hit of the year. He said, Meghan Trainor is white?
Did he think she was Lizzo?
And I looked at him and said, oh, yes. And he goes, she shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yes, King!
He says, has anybody told her she's not supposed to do that?
I am obsessed with him. He's my
he had only
person.
Heard her on the radio, and then he saw the music video on TV, and he was like, wait.
Papa Goldsmith is my favorite human being.
He's like, look, I'm an old white man. He goes, I was born in the 60s, but maybe because I was born in the 60s, my understanding is you're not supposed to do a black person voice.
Thank you. All About That Bass. What is that? Bitch, why are you doing SZA inflections
it's
on
crazy.
All About That
She's
Bass?
She's doing like an Aretha Franklin impression.
She
it's
is.
Bizarre.
It is. It's bizarre. Little white baby, you can't be talking like that.
No, literally that. He was so appalled. He was like, the song's cute,
oh
but I had
God.
No idea. And then she walked out and I went, excuse me?
I love him so much. King of the world.
It's important.
This makes me so happy.
But anyway, so yes, this group, Meghan Trainor, Hillary Duff, Mandy Moore, Ashley Tisdale, and apparently these girls all went to, and I don't know, Meghan Trainor, I think, is a little younger than the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm like, how did she get there? And it must just be that she's fun, because that's my question always, like, how did Meghan Trainor arrive at this location?
Uh-huh.
The rest of them, I think, all went to, like, kindergarten together. They're, like, L.A. Right. girls who were, like, grew up in, as, like, child star type people.
Right. Uh-huh.
But most of them are not famous. But anyway, bold to be like, well, I've left this mom group with the friends that were wrong to me, friends significantly more famous than me. I'm going to write an essay about it in The Cut for attention. There's something
of
just like
course
very
The Cut again. Again, this is a recurring beat on this podcast.
The Cut loves...
We need to like just title this segment, Of Course The Cut.
Making The Cut is a
Making
segment.
Making The Cut. Making The Cut. Yeah. Your mind.
Hillary Duff's husband.
Yes. Oh.
Messy bitch that he is.
And you know Hillary Duff married a messy bitch who lives for drama.
If you're a straight man who's married to Hillary Duff.
To Hillary Duff?
You
again,
are
Polaris
a bitch.
Core.
Polaris Core. And I support
Polaris
that.
Polaris Core, you're a cunt.
I support that.
Absolutely.
Hillary Duff is like a real
and
housewife.
He knows. He has
if
to
you
know.
Are married to her, you have to be a little bit of a cocksucker. You just
do. You have to have cocksucker energy in you.
And he got on Instagram and recreated Ashley Tisdale's pose for the pot article.
So, like, honestly, also so well that for a split second, I thought he actually published a like companion article.
Exactly, like a rebuttal, right?
Uh-huh,
she didn't
exactly.
name any of them in the piece. And so I guess she was like, well, they'll have to admit that they were so awful and bullied to me if they want to if they want to say anything.
Oh, exactly. Also, Matthew Coma, fine as fuck.
Oh, he's cute, yeah.
He's cute. I'd hit that.
He posted,
he's doing the most cut pose on the photo, too.
The headline he put next to it, a mom group tell all through a father's eye.
Through a father's eye.
When you're the most self-obsessed, tone-deaf person on earth, other moms tend to shift focus to their actual toddlers.
Period. Shoot her.
So then the leaks started hitting Page Six from the mob group.
They
and
sure
it's like
did.
Sources say, and like, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it seems that what really happened here is Ashley Tisdale had been alienating everyone with her progressively more right-wing politics for years now, and then posted a tribute to Charlie Kirk after the murder of Charlie Kirk. And all the other moms were uncomfortable about being photographed with her by paparazzi in the wake of that. And we're like, I think we're on break from Ashley because she's going full MAGA in public. And it's weird for us because we're not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because famously, none of the rest of us are.
Because famously, we're all not Republicans. And this is weird for us. So
imagine publishing this, burying the lead that everyone has been weird to you because you're a fucking Nazi.
That they dropped you because you're a fascist. So it's like, well,
exactly.
I don't know.
Very crucial detail to leave out.
And it's like, ugh, this mean group of girls in Los Angeles. Like, yes, bitch, in Los Angeles.
No, bitch, it's because you're mean to black people.
It's because you posted a tearful tribute to a famous racist. That's why.
Famous racist who is indirectly responsible for killing brown people.
And I don't believe in political violence. I don't. I think it's awful that
Charlie
happened.
Charlie Kirk did.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying I think it makes everything worse when things like that happen. I do.
Yeah.
And I think it's horrible that happened. However, I don't think you need to post a message about what a great guy he was unless you agree with the things
unless
he was
you
saying.
Agree, exactly.
And in that case, I don't want to be in a mom friend group with you. I just don't.
Period. Thank you. Thank
Period.
You. I famously think something different.
And we're not going to go there.
And I did it.
We have advertisers. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. And I haven't.
But I do think that they were right to kick Ashley Tisdale out of their mom group. And the thing is also, apparently they didn't even kick her out. They just started having lunches and things that she just low-key wasn't invited to. And she removed herself, which is how that works.
Yeah. 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 That will do it. If you were in a non-Nazi friend group and you're a Nazi, chances are you're going
to
get kicked out.
You have to just ghost quietly.
Yeah, exactly.
Let her go do her thing.
Exactly.
Because if you confront her about it, she's going to go to the cut, clearly.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Also, stand on it. Stand like these white bitches didn't like the fact that I'm a Nazi. And I love white bitches.
And I love, simply love me, Ashley Tisdale, to be an unrepentant racist.
Unrepentant racist. And these woke freaks weren't down with my jive.
Just say that.
Let's say it. Stand on it. Stand on it.
Do the full Gina Carano thing. Become a right-wing influencer. Like, at
Thank
least
you.
Commit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stand on your principles, right?
Honestly, I think your check would get bigger.
Hugely.
Hugely. Massively. Exactly.
Massively.
And I've said this a million times on this podcast. At least say it with your chest, which I can somewhat respect.
No, you think Candace Owens wouldn't immediately book Ashley Tisdale to be the co-host on her podcast? You could be second chair.
Exactly. Baby, Kirk, your Erica.
Period.
Exactly.
But don't try to make it that they were just being mean to you.
Thank you. Exactly.
Because that's silly. Because you know that's not what happened. Because they had talked to you about politics and how they didn't agree with your views. And then you went really public with views that were, at the time, a very incendiary topic. And they decided to opt out of the conversation with you for a minute.
Thank you.
And then you went to the cut.
One of my most frustrating things is the lack of foresight, like anticipating that they would then be duty bound to reveal the fact that they're mean to you because you're mean to Mexican people.
Right. Like that you love ice and that's why they don't want to be friends with you.
Exactly. A really readily available fact for them to share.
Yeah. And like, by the way, cost them nothing to tell Page Six that and say, don't put my name in the article.
Exactly. Period. Period.
They don't even have to be one of the famous ones. It could be like Susan from down the way. This mom group is big, apparently. It's like 15 people. So like, who knows? And you can't even be like, oh, Hillary did it. Frankly, Hillary's husband tipped their hand a little bit by getting on Instagram stories.
Exactly. And it is such like a unique pathology of the MAGA mind to be so brain-addled with hate that you simply cannot think one step ahead.
The thing that killed me is that Crystal Kung Minkoff waded into this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but there is lore.
I did not see this one. Oh.
So you're not a Housewives person.
Uh-uh.
Crystal Kung Minkoff was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for a little bit. I liked her, but she was a lot younger than the rest of the cast and never quite like gelled with them. And she only was on it for a couple of seasons. She's married to Rob Minkoff, who directed The Lion King. She was the first Asian woman on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So she also faced a lot of like really insane shit from the audience, obviously, because it was right after COVID. It was like a really weird, crazy time for her, I'm sure. I wish her all the best. But there was a bit in the show where it came out to the group. They started hearing about the fact that Crystal had had a falling out with her mom friend group and had lost 14 friends at the same time. And they were like, what the fuck did she do? And it became like a thing that they were gossiping about for like a whole season. At one point, like, what did Crystal do to lose 14 friends? And so when this all came out, Crystal was on her podcast that she does with Cynthia Bailey. And she was like, this was before the MAGA reveal, I believe. But she was just like, I just feel for Ashley in this situation because, well, I was in this mom group and they did this to me. So, okay, maybe they are passive aggressive and do all freeze someone out when they have an issue with them. But in this case, it actually is interesting because it underlines what I was saying, which is I'm pretty sure what happened is you did something public that they thought was embarrassing. And so they all kind of quietly withdrew.
Yeah.
What happened with Crystal was she got Real Housewives, told them all she was going to be on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and they all stopped hanging out with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're going on a reality show.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Which, you know what? Not fun.
Not nice
sense.
Of them, but I get it if they're like
actresses
who are famous. You know what
exactly, I mean? Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to be in proximity to this, and I don't feel confident about what you're going to like spotlight.
Yeah, and like the paparazzi, that kind of paparazzi is going to be all over you now. And if I'm Mandy Moore, I don't know that I want like the reality show churn around my friend group.
Thank you. Exactly. I don't want to take that risk. I simply don't want to take that risk. It's not what I need in my life right now.
I get like nominated for Emmys and stuff. Like, I don't want to. I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another favorite like reveal or like a bit of context for this that set me about this whole thing is the fact that Hillary Duff, and it's just, again, like the lack of foresight in this woman. Hillary Duff cut off her own sister, Haley Duff. For being a right-wing conservative.
Allegedly.
What made
that's
you
the rumor.
Think, allegedly?
I think we don't.
That's a rumor.
But
that's
it does seem
allegedly.
To be what's going on.
It does seem to be
because
the
they don't speak and they don't follow each other on social media. And word on the street
and
is because Haley Duff is MAGA and Hillary is not willing to speak to her.
At all. Yeah, exactly.
Because they
and
had a fight about it or something.
Very likely that she is MAGA.
Seems very real.
Yeah, seems very real. It's not confirmed, but it's.
I'm just saying she hasn't like spoken out like I love Trump or anything, but there's enough circumstantial evidence, and yeah. It would have to be something big to like stop talking to your sister who you're really close to. So,
which knowing Hillary Duff, it's that big for her. It's that
it
serious.
Is. She's always been a very political person, so I don't doubt that for one second.
Oh, baby, Hillary.
You could be MAGA and don't say gay Hillary Duff's.
Exactly.
Mom friend group?
America.
Hillary Duff single-handedly ended the millennial gayest mean stupid
Thank
thing.
You.
That was Hillary.
Exactly.
She did that with her
single-handedly.
Bare hands.
She did that for all of us.
For all of us.
She did that in a 15-second ad spot.
And you know, it's crazy, Ashley Tisdale, because we were all rooting for you because you played the cunt
Thank
in
you.
The movie. But
exactly.
We should have known.
We should have known. We should have known. We should have seen darkness brewing.
Yeah.
The cherry on this, though, is Ashley Tisdale's team denying that this is about them.
Oh, so you have another mom friend group?
Oh, you have another mom
group?
Because
that's embarrassing.
Really? Really?
They
really?
Both abandoned you, apparently, because it's not
exactly.
like this mom friend group is denying that they cut you out.
Denying it after so many of the women
have been
in
like,
this
yeah,
group,
I did drop her because she's a crazy
we
Nazi.
We did drop her because she's a fucking Nazi. And then saying, no, it wasn't about you. Well, clearly.
Well, then who's it
you
about?
You got kicked
bitch?
Out of two then.
Yeah.
Well, now you got
Must
kicked
have.
Out of two.
Must have lost all your goddamn friends, apparently. Apparently, you are unfriendable.
Exactly. Apparently, you can't be in a mom group to save your life.
No.
It's so...
Maybe go find a mom group in Dallas or something.
Uh-huh.
You're not
Bitch,
meant
are
to
you
be
dumb.
Here. You
Bitch,
can actually
are you dumb.
Go to Orange County. It's not that far.
It's not that far. It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
It's pretty close.
Baby, get your Rivian and go to Orange County.
You belong there, and you'll be happy.
You belong there. Exactly. Go to Abundance. Go to Nazi Abundance, sister.
It's not like you're acting.
I know. Thank you.
What are
thank
you doing
you.
In Los
exactly.
Angeles? Not to be rude. Like...
Exactly. Oh, baby, it's not like you have call times
it's
to
not
be
like you're booked.
Exactly. You don't have anywhere in Hollywood to be. You can be in Orange County.
You can
I
be
know
in
you
the
can.
OC. I assure you.
I assure you. I promise you that schedule will allow it. That commute is not necessary. Oh, this was a hoot. This was a treat.
Oh, man, I love this one.
I love this one. This one gave me
it's
a
always
good
nice
tickle.
When the MAG reveal is about a celebrity who, like, I liked well enough but didn't care that much about. So now it's
Thank
just funny.
You. Exactly.
If it's someone I care about, it sucks, obviously.
It does.
But
it sucks. It sucks. And honestly, like, it's a good reminder of the fact that, honestly, my, like, churn of letting people go for being MAGA, there's some that would hit me hard. Like, Sydney Sweeney, I was ready to let that bitch go at
You're
any
like,
moment.
I'm sick of you anyway.
Exactly. I'm sick of you anyway. You don't do shit for me. There's, like, would never happen. Would never happen. Knock on the most wood. Like, if a Zendaya came
sure,
out.
Sure, right. Yeah,
MAGA,
that would be...
That would,
that would also
that would
be racial trauma.
In my psyche. Yes, exactly. That would rupture my psyche.
As a white person, it's more common for someone
exactly.
of your race to reveal that they are MAGA, I will say.
Thank
that
you.
Does happen.
I'm also, thank you. Exactly. I'm on hypothetical committees.
Yeah, right. Like...
We are in community with each other in my
yeah,
brain.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that.
Exactly. That's personal. Oh, my God. Something that is not at all personal to me, but I'm very, I wouldn't say I'm invested in it, but I'm more invested and curious about it than I ever thought, because I have not thought about these people once in damn near a decade. But the Beckham feud, I have somehow Ooh. Been, again, online hurtled into involvement in.
This one's dark. I have been it subjected is. To this also because the algorithm does correctly identify that I spent many of my teenage years whacking it to David
yes.
Beckham, and I'm uh-huh. a gay millennial and therefore am interested in Victoria Beckham. So
absolutely.
If it's about Posh and Bex, I will read
yes.
it.
Exactly. And also Posh and Bex feel royal adjacent.
They
in
are.
In a way that is also you-
They're royal
uniquely
to me.
Supposed to you. They are royal to a certain sect of gay people.
If you are the kind of millennial gay person who loves mm-hmm. reading about the royals, you also love reading yeah. about the Beckhams. It's exactly that.
Exactly. No, they're in the exact same niche. So I'm going to give just like a high level review of like the timeline of their family feud between the Beckhams and their son and his new wife, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's the son and the wife.
Brooklyn's
is
the son.
Nicola
and the wife is Nicola. Yep. Uh-huh. And I want you to fill in the gaps because I'm sure you have been much more inundated with
this than I have been. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And I only have a cursorily, but somehow thorough understanding of this. So here's how this has shaken out, culminating in like the latest reveal. The feud between the Beckhams and their son Brooklyn and his wife Nicola has been like escalating over time, with a recent legal letter that the Beckhams received being like a culmination of like all of this. Way back in like April of 2022, when Brooklyn and Nicola wed in Florida, there was apparently like initial conflict over Nicola not wearing a wedding dress designed by Victoria.
Because Victoria is a fashion designer.
Exactly. Exactly. And there was like a bunch of like conflicting narratives about the reason. So that's where like we all heard about this in the beginning.
There was a lot of stuff in the press initially that was very like women versus women. Nicola and Victoria hate each other. And it wasn't clear if it was real or not, or if it was just regular tabloid women hate women.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly. Which like it was where this all landed for me for a few years.
Same. I was just like, I don't believe this is true, but it seems pretty true now.
Exactly. It seems pretty true now. Now it feels realer. Later that year, there were like more like drama, like more allegations of them not being able to stand each other, like apparently because of like drama over wedding planning and like really petty white shit like that. Then this year, late this summer, Brooklyn reportedly sent a legal letter to his parents asking them to stop contacting him directly and only communicate through their lawyers to protect his mental health, and also requested they stop tagging him in social media. Then in May, Brooklyn and Nicola were noticeably absent from David Beckham's 50th birthday in London. August, Brooklyn and Nicola renewed their wedding vows. I guess it's been 3 years by then. Wouldn't have known.
Jeez.
Reportedly without any of the Beckhams present. Then November comes. The couple did not publicly comment when David was awarded a knighthood, nor did they attend the ceremony. That's dark.
When the king knights your father and
knights
you don't go.
Your father and you don't go. That means something. That means
you know?
Something. That's a big deal, babe. That's
you don't
a
even
big
post
deal.
About it on Instagram. Like,
yeah.
There's
Something's going on. Then in December, Brooklyn and Nicola skipped the family's Christmas celebrations. How do people know this?
Because Victoria Beckham has a lifestyle brand. So a lot of their holidays see pictures of the family.
Oh, yeah. And then apparently they did share like a family photo on New Year's Eve that they weren't in.
Right.
Later in December is when it was reported that Brooklyn had blocked his parents and
That's
siblings.
When he blocked them
and
all.
Siblings. Yeah. On Instagram.
The siblings were the ones who kind of like Victoria and David have been not. And this is, I think, I mean, I don't know if they're good parents because obviously this has gotten weird and who knows whose fault whatever is. But I have theories.
I want to hear them. I want them.
I will
hear
give
them.
You some theories soon. But
I can't
I
wait.
Do think they're being good parents in how they're handling it, in that they are not speaking about it publicly.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. I think so, which is so important because you don't want to be in a public feud with your son.
No,
you
the
are
brothers
you don't
are
want to
feuding
be engaging.
Publicly. The brothers
exactly.
are having it because Romeo, Brooklyn's brother, is pissed at how he's treating their parents.
Yeah, exactly. Which is very sibling shit to do.
Yeah, and that's normal.
No,
but
I'm
the parents are staying door. Out of it, which I think
exactly.
is good.
Exactly. As you should, because I'm sure it's fucking heartbreaking.
Awful. Awful. Can you imagine?
Awful. Awful. I know.
If you are someone, and David Beckham is someone who cares about shit like this, if you are someone who cares about being Sir David Beckham and getting knighted, and it happens, and your son won't speak to you and won't come, that's crazy.
Exactly. It's
like,
crazy.
That would be so
it's
awful.
Crazy. It's so sad. I know. It would be so awful. It honestly like breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brooklyn's the oldest too.
He is their oldest child.
Yeah. Which I'm sure like adds like another layer to it, which is just, it's like, it's fucking heartbreaking actually.
It's awful.
And then most recently news reported like more detailed contents of the letter that like revealed the extent of the breakdown in communication. I'm not going to get into it. But it was also noticed that Nicola deleted photos of her in-laws from her Instagram feed.
So,
and that's where we're at today.
Yeah, and so here's my I feel bad because in most circumstances, I would be so contemptuous of anyone who was like, clearly it's the wife's fault. But
right.
In this case, I don't support all women. Some of you bitches, et cetera, is like very
much
the vibe.
Yeah, some of you bitches, et cetera, is very much where I'm at.
Nicola Peltz is a particularly sinister spirit and has been for a very long time.
I have been feeling that for a very long time.
How much do you know about her? Because I can tell you, I'm going to tell you some stuff.
I don't know a lot. Please inundate me because I live a vibe-based life. And whenever this woman, like I encounter this woman, I just receive sinister energies. That's the extent of my knowledge or feelings about her. It is purely intuitive as a safety mechanism to detect negative spiritual energies when they are like even like virtually in my presence.
So Nicola Peltz was born in 1995 in Westchester County, New York, where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
She's about the same age as my sister. She's a year younger than my sister.
Uh-huh.
Daughter of Nelson Peltz, the billionaire.
Ah, okay. Important.
Nelson Peltz is a hedge fund guy who expanded his hedge fund earnings to become the chairman of Wendy's, the Madison Square Garden company that runs Madison Square Garden. He used to direct Heinz Ketchup. He's like one, he's just a business guy who's run a million businesses, etc. He is most famous in recent years in the news for being the guy who tried to stage a hostile takeover of Disney to force it to go MAGA.
Fascinated.
Tried to take over with the shareholders and everything and like take over the board of Disney and fire the CEO and make them stop promoting gay and trans people.
Oh, cool. Great. Okay. So that's good to know.
That's Nelson's deal.
Uh-huh.
Nicola, well, she made her film debut at age 11.
Mm-hmm.
Worked on and off after that, but most famously was the total unknown cast in one of the biggest movies that anybody had going at the time in the lead role of White Katara in M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender.
Oh, my God, you're lying.
She's White Katara.
You're lying. She's not. Oh.
Uh-huh.
That bitch.
Yes.
That bitch. That bitch. Bitch, I fucking knew there was something amiss about you. I fucking knew it. I knew it, bitch. I knew
it. She's White Katara.
Uh-huh.
You've been looking at pictures of them and you've been like, what is it?
And you could say, that's exactly what it was. I was like, why does this bitch engender mistrust in the depths of my soul?
Because she is the daughter of a MAGA billionaire and is White Katara.
I knew there was something off about that bitch's face and that was it. Blood memory will never fail you.
She is delivering her speech to the people of the Earth Nation or whatever the fuck.
Uh-huh.
She is White Katara.
Bitch, girl, a woman's intuition will never fail you. Let me tell you.
So I've been nervous, quite honestly, for Victoria ever since her son got involved with White Katara, because this is also like a Jewish geography thing of like, we do just keep track of Jewish celebrities.
You do, exactly.
So,
you have the tomes and you have the document.
Exactly,
and you have
right?
the board.
Yeah, no, we just want to know, because it's like, there is a thing where it's kind of like you keeping tabs on Drake. It's like, we want to know what's going
on. Thank you, exactly. Even my nemesis, I'm aware of their movement.
And I also keep tabs on Drake because of the Jewish part. So, you know,
exactly.
Just in case, you want to be able to get ahead of some celebrity news that might be for the community. You know what I mean?
No, you need to be able to give like an offhand summary of the latest going-ons within your people.
Yeah, like when a Shonda Fiduguayam occurs, you need to be able to explain it and then kind of tap dance
exactly.
away. You know, so you just want to know. You want to know what's
exactly.
going on.
Exactly. When niggotry is like pervasively happening, I got to have a take on it.
So Nicola Peltz has kind of always been on my like danger, potentially bad for the Jews radar. So I've just kept tabs. Because let me tell you, White Katara was not a great moment for the Jews. I did not
love
that.
No, absolutely. No, some PR work had to be done imminently.
That's the deal there. And therefore, my take is Victoria Beckham probably is kind of a bitch because she vibes like kind of a bitch. That's part of why we like Victoria Beckham.
I think she's a cunt.
Yeah, I think she's probably horrible, but like that's...
Exactly. But also surprising no one.
Right. So I'm sure that she is, you know, difficult to deal with because she just seems like she would be.
Yes.
And part of that is probably the Posh Spice character blending with her in my brain.
Exactly.
So who knows?
No, absolutely. But I think it's also, I think it's blending in her brain.
I agree. I think that when you are given a character that you have to inhabit at all times at a young age, you do kind of internalize that a little bit.
No, exactly. No, the lines blur.
Yeah. Especially when it was like, you do just have to live as that character because
exactly.
that was their whole gimmick was that they just were those people all the time.
Exactly. The newbie persona becomes the person.
So I'm sure she's a difficult mother-in-law. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But Nelson Peltz is such a famously dreadful guy.
Yeah.
And being the child of a billionaire is so famously a way to create a wretched person.
Yes. No, it spoils the soul.
And Nicola Peltz just has always given me a really hostile energy through the television screen. I've just always felt, there's a chill.
No, I wouldn't say snakes manifesting in my home, but there are eggs. There are eggs laying.
You can hear like a rattling in the background.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's outside of my window for sure.
And I got to say, my take back when the wedding news was happening and it was all in the tabloids, I said, why wouldn't you just wear a Victoria Beckham dress?
I know.
Be
exactly.
grateful.
Exactly. I'm sure it's a great
Your famous mother-in-law wants to give you a free dress. Wear it.
Exactly. Also, like, have some fucking brand awareness, for fuck's sake.
And some decorum. You're marrying into a famous family. The mother
Thank
of the family
you.
Is a famous fashion designer. Wear the clothes.
Exactly.
Be a
Please.
Team player a little bit. But the thing is, when you are white Katara and a billionaire's daughter, you have never learned ever in your life to be a team player, is I think what happened here.
I think so, too.
That's my theory, is that basically an immovable object met unstoppable force. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it just was not.
No, that resonates with me. I feel like that's true. Thank you for this insight. This is important to you.
Brooklyn is also just clearly a really troubled guy and has been for a long time.
I mean, it would be so difficult to avoid that.
Yeah. So I just think the whole thing is sad and I hope they can sort it out. But I do suspect that the Peltzes are the issue. That is my
theory. I do, unfortunately, too. It's so sad. I feel like sad for the Beckhams. I hope they make up. I hate parent-child drama when the parents
objectively
evil. I know.
Yeah, unless it's like I'm estranged from my father because he's John Voight.
Because he's the devil.
And it's like an essay by Angelina Jolie. I'm like, okay, sure, I got that.
Exactly. To freedom, diva. To freedom.
Yeah, but like if it's just, you know, parents and children like not speaking over like petty shit, it makes me sad.
Exactly. That hurts my heart. All the best to them. We'll keep you posted if anything interesting.
We'll keep tabs.
My last bit of culture that has been really rocking my knickers lately is Matt Damon revealing on Conan O'Brien's podcast that him and Ben Affleck have a shared bank account.
I hadn't heard about this.
Yes, baby. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Bitch, don't. I know. We know. We know.
We know.
You niggas are gay.
I'm sorry. Like, you do not have a joint bank account with your alcoholic friend.
Unless you
are sucking each other's dicks.
You love that bitch down.
I'm sorry. That's crazy.
You love that bitch down in coitus.
Like, a friend who's been to rehab multiple times, you are not sharing a bank account with him.
Exactly.
Platonically.
Exactly. Thank you. There's like, girl on girl. I have like shared a bank account. Well, I would. No. I don't want nobody in my house. I don't want nobody in my bank account.
Exactly.
Mostly for their sake. Everyone knows.
I'm going to be super real. I don't think I would have a joint bank account with my husband.
Baby.
I understand
my husband,
I think that's a little crazy.
My husband won't want a joint bank account with me. I would not recommend that for him.
I mean, I guess if you're filing taxes jointly, it becomes different.
Exactly. But like, it becomes incumbent.
But like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are not filing taxes jointly.
Uh-huh,
what's this about?
Thank you. Yep.
What are they putting on that credit card?
Thank you. Well, apparently different purposes, like traveling to New York for auditions, playing video games at the arcade, or buying beer. You guys were in love with each other. In love with each other.
Stuff you don't want your wives to see on a bill on a different credit card is what
that
is.
Thank you. Thank you. And then my favorite little nugget from this is Matt Damon also revealed that the code to the account was River, because River Phoenix was an actor that they really admired.
That's the gayest thing I've heard yet.
I know.
That they were inspired
exactly.
by their admiration
Mutual
for River
man
Phoenix.
Crush. Mutual man crush River Phoenix.
That's real gay.
These faggots. I can't. I'm obsessed with it. I love it.
My favorite is still Matt Damon getting in trouble because he just like admitted out of nowhere in an interview that he was like, I used to say faggot all the time. And then my daughter told me I shouldn't.
I know. Absolutely.
He was like a year ago. And everyone was like, what?
I told you shouldn't because you're in love with a man. And I'm sure Matt Damon was like, of all people, I can say faggot.
Well, right. And that was the thing, is that the comments on every article about it were people going like, I don't know, ever been to Chicago?
Right. Thank you.
When he's there, because.
I don't know. Maybe he can.
And I was like,
maybe
all right.
He can.
They were like, I don't know. I live in Chicago and sometimes I think he can say it. I'm just saying.
Right. Thank you. From what I know, I think there's a good chance of saying it.
Any listeners in Boys Town who might have spotted Matt Damon on a sojourn at some point, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We love a blind item on Kibbutz
Yeah,
Cast.
But I think that's really funny. I do.
I honestly think it's beautiful. I love love.
It's also so gay to be in an eternal death spiral on again, off again relationship with Jennifer Lopez. So
yes, absolutely.
You know, like they're all just kind of like, I do believe that they are mostly into women, but there's a
there's something there. You can't fight true
homosexual
love.
Frisson to this.
Yeah, you can't fight true love. Let me tell you. You know what? The Polaris program reaches and spans.
Reaches
let me
new
tell
heights.
You.
This is just a headline I wanted to read.
Yes.
Squid Game: The Experience. Actors Union Equity raises concerns about working conditions on London event. Yeah, I bet.
I love a story that is simply just, yeah, I bet.
I bet. I didn't even read the article. I just was like, yeah, I bet they do. I bet they do. Because that's not a job that, I mean, look, I would express concerns if anyone in my union signed up to do a real life Squid Game event.
Thank you.
What are the safety protocols here? It's a show about a game that famously kills people. So, like, what are we doing? It's very Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Like, I also would have had safety concerns about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Period. Exactly. I would, too. I would have some.
You know? I also have concerns about Smize Magazine, the new vertical that Tyra Banks has launched on Instagram. It is an online magazine that she posts exclusively on social media. A magazine, but make it a carousel, she says.
I am obsessed.
The cover of issue one is Tyra's face made of melting yellow ice cream, and it looks absolutely insane.
It does. It does.
Hi, welcome to the first issue of Smize Magazine. We're a little wild, a little wacky, and all about ice cream, art, love, and building little fashion fantasy worlds and mixing things that don't usually go together. Inside, you'll find work from artists and smagic makers we adore, like Inger and Carl, plus ideas that make us laugh and moments that feel like home. We hope you feel inspired to unleash your own beautiful, wacky self. Tyra and the Smize Magic Makers. Are we the first ice cream brand to launch a carousel magazine? Yes, bitch, because no one else has a carousel magazine. What's a carousel magazine? This is very, The Divine Addiction is not a blog. It's an online lifestyle magazine. This is an Instagram post.
It's an Instagram post, baby. It's an Instagram post. You're Instagram influencing. This is not a magazine. Don't fuck with me. I love this. I love this so much. This tickled me. I love your reporting.
The pinups are sexy girls with fruit heads showing off Tyra's new flavors. It says things like, this sorbet shouldn't be this creamy. And it's a sexy girl with a banana for a face. A bunch of bananas, actually.
Oh, my God, yes.
She advertised a bunch of hot ice cream tastings in New York City in January. And I would go, but I'm not there currently. So I am going to miss the, I'm sure, delicious experience. But I do like, she said, the DMs are lit. We see you. How do I get hot ice cream in the USA? Are you coming to my city? Tyra, why isn't it in every city? Okay, real talk. Supermodel does not mean super budget. But New York City? Swipe, baby. And then here's the dates. The slogan of Smize magazine on the back cover is, normal is boring. Be the fun one.
Sure, mama. Sure.
I have to say, I think that Tyra Banks' evolution into a cryptid that lives inside the internet is a really powerful choice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I respect a famous hot person deciding that they are going to become... It's not unlike the endless Kim Kardashian.
No, I was just going to say that. Like, I was just going to say, she is going to go on the Kim Kardashian Make Me Endless pipeline.
She's
and becoming AI.
A being of the cloud, and I find it really fascinating. And I do think that Tyra and Kim are on the cutting edge of this. Like, I think especially aging female celebrities who are like famous hot people, and
absolutely
keeping up with the expectation of that on something like Instagram is just becomes unfeasible.
Untenable.
Because like it's like you have a single wrinkle. Disgusting, you ancient crow.
Disgusting own crow.
Get out of my sight, right? So instead, why not become a digital
endless
entity?
Yes. Why not become endless?
Become endless.
The true beauty hack, the true hack to defy aging is the cloud, baby.
Is to become a simulation yourself.
Exactly. Stop simulating 23-year-old skin and start being in the simulation.
Being yourself a virtual creature.
Exactly.
I think it's so cool.
I am obsessed. Yeah.
There's a demon in the internet. We have to get it out. Uh-huh. Or do we?
Oh,
wait. It's Tyra Banks. She can stay.
Period. And you are truly at this point becoming the senior Tyra AI correspondent of the world.
I can't help myself. I just need to know what she's doing at every time, at every moment. But she had completely fallen off. That's the thing. Like, she had gone off the grid. She was making ice cream. She moved to Australia.
And now she is the grid, baby.
But now she is the grid.
Yes. Yes, baby. I'm so in love with this. I'm so in love with this. And you know what? I'm also in love with questions, Connor.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
What's up in science this week, Professor Diva?
What's up in science this week is Lily motherfucking Leckler.
Thank you for your question, Lily.
Thank you for your question, Lily, because she has given us our very first inaugural Ask a Science Journalist Kibitz Cast question, baby. Thank you so much, Lily Lecture. Not lecture. No, Lily does not lecture. She gets lectured by me.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lily Leckler, for a beautiful, salient, fantastic first question. I am so excited about it. Thank you for letting me nerd out about something that is so perfectly in my niche. You nailed this shit. You ate this up.
You had a whole themed birthday party on this
sure
subject.
Sure did. I sure did. She knows me so well. She gets it. Diva,
I wore
student.
Gold, which makes me look ill, but I decided I had to meet the theme. I did it for you.
You did it for your favorite local hermaphrodite, and that means the world to me. So Lily Leckler asks, I have a question for Professor Diva. Is it true that honey doesn't spoil? Why? And can it be used as a preservative like salt? Lily, I'm so fucking gooned out, splayed out, whole out, ready to answer this question. I love it. I'm eating it up. I'm slathering myself with it like honey. And we're going to get into it right now.
Come get your honey.
You got the sweet, sweet in my soul. Sweeter than honey. Oh.
I love that I went Robin and you went Beyonce, and that's the kibitz.
And that's the kibitz, bitch. Say that shit. All right, you little honeybee faggots. I want your asses in seats. I want ears on me, and I want you to get ready to learn. Class is in section. Session. Whatever
session,
the fuck I
bitch.
Want it to be. Session, ho. So to answer your question, my beautiful, perfect, dove-like Lily Leckler, the short answer to does honey spoil is no, baby. Honey does not spoil. Honey does not.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh. In fact, there are pots of edible honey that have been found in ancient Egyptian tombs.
I have read about that. That's crazy shit.
Uh-huh. Crazy fucking shit. Crazy fucking shit. That are over 3,000 years old and still edible to this day. Honey is that bitch. You want to know who's truly diva everlasting? Miss Honey. Miss Honey?
Miss Honey. Honey.
She is uncorruptible. She is unimpeachable. And one thing about my bitch, she lasts, baby. She lasts. Let's get into it, because the long answer is so much more interesting. So I'm going to tell you all about it. There are three main reasons why honey does not spoil. Number one, low water content and high sugar. Honey is about 80% sugars and only 18-ish percent water, which means that it creates high osmotic pressure. Your little word of the day, my little gooners.
That's pertaining to osmosis, I assume.
It is. It is, baby. You're
Hell
so good.
Yeah.
Good star. Gold star, baby.
English major. I can figure out words.
Yes, you can. I love when you do your victory. Hell yeah. So that means that when microbes land in honey, microbes that cause spoilage, water is literally sucked out of their cells through osmosis, through the atmospheric pressure in the honey, causing them to dehydrate and die. That's reason number one. Number two is the fact that honey is naturally acidic. Fun fact, it has a pH between 3.4 and 6.1.
So do I.
Yes, you do, baby. Yes, you do. She bites back. And acidic environments are not a chill place to live for most bacteria and microorganisms that cause spoilage.
That's why I haven't been in a relationship in a while.
Damn. Uh-huh. Because men are fucking bugs. They're fucking viruses. And that environment,
they just can't handle my acidic environment, and really that is on them.
Exactly, exactly. And thank God.
Meanwhile, I am not spoiling over here.
Let me tell you, thriving, growing, lasting like a motherfucker.
Period.
Say that, bitch. Keep the microbe called man out of my sweet, sweet honey. Let me tell you that. And reason number three is hydrogen peroxide.
Hmm.
Bees add an enzyme called glucose oxidase to nectar. So when the honey is diluted or exposed to moisture, this enzyme slowly produces small amounts of hydrogen peroxide, which is a natural antiseptic. So three reasons why it doesn't spoil. Your second question, Lily, can it be used as a preservative like salt? Yes, 1,000%. Absolutely.
Really?
Your mind. It sure
That's
can.
That's so cool.
I know, bitch. I know. And in fact, it is one of humanity's oldest preservatives and one that has been used for literally thousands of years before refrigeration. However, it does work in a different way than salt. There are some similarities, but there's more factors. So salt, aka like curing something, works mostly by dehydration.
Right.
Creates a hypertonic environment, another word, in the same way that honey's osmotic pressure draws water out of microbes. We all know salt takes water out of things. Honey does the same thing, but that is salt's only like preservation.
Preserving option. Quality, right.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
It desiccates things.
It desiccates things. It takes the water right out, baby. Honey uses a combination of that osmotic pressure, acidity, and hydrogen peroxide. Like, the reason why honey is such an incredible preservative is because it attacks from multiple angles from like a preservation perspective.
Interesting.
Also interesting, honey was used to preserve fruits, creating things like quince paste, meats, and even embalmed bodies. One of the most famous examples of this is the ancient Macedonian king, Alexander the Great, who was reportedly transported for burial in a preserved golden coffin filled with honey.
Oh, I knew that.
Yes.
But I didn't put together the, uh-huh. I thought it was, I guess I was just like a ceremonial thing.
You thought he was queening out. You thought
yeah,
he was queening
well,
out from
he
the
famously
other
loved to, but I
he
guess
did. Oh, he sure did.
It also kept, I guess I knew that it was like, I just didn't know it worked, that it actually was
yeah,
preserving.
It sure
That's
did.
Cool.
Exactly. No, they just weren't fagging him out from beyond the grave.
Yeah, well, I just love when shit like that is kind of right. Like when the four uh-huh. humors stuff that obviously mm-hmm. isn't right, and like all of the alchemy stuff, but they're like, uh-huh. you're so close. You're operating from a premise that's not quite there because you don't know that like germs exist yet or whatever.
Exactly.
But, like, you're clearly like, huh, something's wrong with your blood. Clearly.
Uh-huh.
Let's like
exactly.
Leech it.
No,
maybe.
You're getting something.
You're
baby.
So close.
You're getting something. You're so close. You just need a little more. You need a few more.
You need a microscope,
baby.
That you don't have.
You do. You do. And it's coming, baby.
It's coming. But not for you, unfortunately.
So there are some important caveats, though, Lily. Raw and pure, in quotes, matters a lot. So the honey must be pure to have preservative qualities and not adulterated with water or syrup. That would make sense because more water content makes it harder for like that osmotic pressure to like actually work. Adulterated honey has a higher water content that can ferment or grow mold. Raw honey, pure honey definitely matters a lot. Number two, honey can crystallize. This is natural. It's not a sign of spoilage and you can gently warm it and return it to a liquid state, but it is a factor. Really important, honey can also contain botulism spores. And this is why honey should... Yeah, it sounds scary. It's not. We'll get there.
Well, I mean, people inject it in their face all the time. It's not as scary
exactly.
as you think it is. They had to call it something else with a Botox. It's cheeky. And it is just botulism that you're injecting.
Yeah, it so is. It so is. But it can be scary to babies. And this is why honey should never be given to infants under 1 year old. Because their immature digestive systems can't prevent the spores from germinating and producing botulism toxin, which is the important one. But for adults and older children, this is not a risk, so you're fine. You're fine, babe. You don't have to worry about it. Botulism spores aren't going to do anything to you, unless you're under one, and then in which case you simply cannot listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I was like, then what the fuck are you doing here, and what is wrong with your parents?
Get out. I'm going to have a talk to your parents. Also, how did you, like, what smart baby. Smart baby for finding
iPad
us.
Kid.
iPad kids, let me tell you. You can't speak, but you can listen to us.
They can.
But you shouldn't. Get
but you
off.
Shouldn't. Please
sorry,
don't.
Babe.
We don't. It's marked explicit.
It is. Please parental control that baby. Last thing that is important caveat. Modern honey processing, overheating, or fine filtering can destroy some of the natural enzymes and pollen in honey that will potentially reduce its antimicrobial properties. It will still be very shelf-stable due to its sugar content and acidity, but it won't last as long if it's super processed. Other fun honey facts for you, my sweet, sweet lily baby. It is more than just sweet. Honey has a ton of complexities. Like wine or coffee, honey has a terroir. Its flavor and color and aroma are directly shaped by their environment. It's influenced by the specific flowers bees forage. There are over 300 unique flavors in honey. For example, clover honey is mild and sweet. Buckwheat honey or manuka honey is robust. It's dark, sometimes medicinal. Orange blossom honey is citrusy. Color is influenced by the plant source and mineral content and often indicates like the intensity of the flavor. And its nutritional profile can also vary. Generally, darker honeys contain higher level of antioxidants and minerals.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's darker. It's all the minerals, baby.
It has minerals in it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like mineral water is darker than regular water.
Exactly. It's the rocks, babe. It's the rocks. A perfect example is buckwheat honey, which has like super high in antioxidants. Speaking of a little bit more about the extremely old, thousands of year old honey, the most famous story involves the 1922 discovery of King Tutankhamun's tomb by archaeologist Howard Carter. Among the treasures that he found, archaeologists found sealed jars of honey. And as the legend goes, some brave, extremely brave, stupid, I might say, archaeologists tasted it, which is crazy.
You know,
dumb,
it's funny because everybody who went into King Tut's tube, they're like, there was a curse and many of them died young and whatever. Maybe you shouldn't have eaten the honey that was 3,000 years old. Don't eat shit you find in the tomb. That's not a curse.
Get your mouth out of the 3,000-year-old tomb.
That is 3,000-year-old honey germs. I just wouldn't.
You're not cursed, baby. You keep licking shit. So that'll do it.
It's very Prometheus
coded.
Like, put your helmet
on. It so is. Bitch, act right. Act right when you're in King Tut's tomb. And maybe you won't get fucking botulism. But they tasted it and found it was still perfectly edible and sweet after 3,000 years. This is what cemented honey's reputation as a food that defies time. Even older honey has since been discovered, dating up to 5,500 years, untasted. Thank God we learned, but probably still fresh. Why it lasts for millennia, mostly everything that we just talked about, but also the airtight seals of the clay or stone jars were a final and crucial factor that prevented moisture from getting in to keep that hydration ratio stable. So to sum you bitches up, honey is indeed the natural, eternal food, the diva everlasting, mostly because of its unique chemical makeup. Just make sure you're using pure honey, sweet, sweet Lily. Boom.
Well, thank you, Professor Diva, and thank you for writing in,
so
Lily Leckler. If you would like to ask Professor Diva for bespoke science sections, you can do that if you subscribe at the Gigabits tier at patreon.com/kibitzcast.
Period. If you want me to say your name 20 times in a podcast full of adoration, give us $25.
It's that simple.
Period. It's that easy, babe. It's that easy.
What's up for you in music this week, George?
Oh, my God. Okay, so there's two things up for me in music this week. One is new songs. Bruno Mars announced his new album. Mm-hmm. I am so fucking excited for this.
I love the way you love Bruno Mars.
You know I do. Number one, he's the shortest man I've ever wanted to fuck.
So little.
I love my little pocket rocket. I love my little backpack. I need to take a ride. I might break him, but I'm going to do it. I need that man. But also, he's my black king by proxy. I don't care. I'm gonna give him half a pass. You know what, nigga? Close enough.
He is one of those guys where you do have to, I at least have to be reminded.
I know. So do I, baby.
It's like Rita Ora took a while to sink in also.
Exactly. Yeah, no, thank you. Exactly. That's another one. And you know what? He doesn't say niggas, so that's a huge bonus. That's great for
me. Neither does Rita Ora, as far as I know.
You get a little tiny point for that. Exactly. Hope not. Just don't let me find out, Rita. Don't let me find out. But yes, I'm so excited for this album. No features, which is smart because, bitch, I know you need that money after just paying off your gambling debt. He's like, all of this money is going to me. I haven't been net income in years.
Yeah, because he had to split Die With A Smile with Gaga.
Uh-huh. He sure did. You know what? It paid those bills, baby.
It did, though, because that was a hit.
Uh-huh. It was.
That was such a hit, she had to put it on the album, even though it was the one non-cohesive song on the album. It was fine.
I know, exactly.
It was
fine.
It was like the last thing, but it was like...
Oh, no, she did that for Bruno. She was
she did that for him.
She's like, I know you got a couple hundred thousand to knock off of that debt. Let me do you a solid.
You're such a nice guy. I'm going to do you the solid. I'm going to put it on the album.
Exactly. So I'm so excited about it. His new song, I Just Might, came out. And I love that, like, Bruno Mars, the music video is so cute. He has such, like, a cohesive style and, like, vision. But he, like, elevates it every time, which I think is super dope. It would break my heart, break my heart, break my heart if I find out you can't move. You better show me now, show me now, show me now. 'Cause when I take it to the floor,
it's kind of like if Lou Bega was sexy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's very that. It's a little bit like a Spring Revival to me, except like more of a funk thing. But it has that similar, like, he's always got a hat on. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I love my boy. I love my boy. I love me some Bruno Mars.
Like a little top hat.
A little top hat. Uh-huh. He has a little fedora on sometimes. This song is also just like right in the perfect, like, dancey kind of corny vibe.
That's where he excels.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. And it's like, it's different from Lizzo because he can also be buck wild nasty in a way that, like, actually is believable and not like, you're doing a performance right now.
She's really annoying is really the problem that she has.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly. And Bruno Mars is fun and funny.
Yeah. I've seen her live and her voice is incredible. But whenever she's like vamping between songs, you're just kind of like, you are an annoying person.
Are an annoying person.
Whereas
exactly.
Like Bruno Mars gets up at the Super Bowl and I'm like, I'm captivated. And I
exactly.
wouldn't normally
exactly.
listen to this guy particularly. I mean, like Uptown Funk is great. There's lots of Bruno Mars songs that are great, but I don't like go out of my way to put on some Bruno Mars. But then he does the halftime show, and I'm like, that was one of the best I've ever seen, honestly.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Silk Sonic had me buckled down, locked in. This bitch, I'm paying the rent. That song does it for me. It's about me. They wrote that about me.
It is about you.
It is. Paying the rent, driving her kids, and here I am all alone. It's about me. Oh, but anyways, no, this song has also been such an earworm for me. Number one, because of the line, what good is beauty if your booty can't find the beat? Say that shit. Say that shit.
Very
perennial
true.
Quote. Everyone needs to remember that. And similarly, because it would break my heart if I found out you can't move. Me, literally, when I find out, one, a man I'm fucking can't dance, or a man that I want to fuck has no stroke, which literally makes me want to kill myself. Okay.
As it should. That's tragic.
It's tragic. If you look like you have good dick game and it's just a big dick you don't know how to use, it will break my heart. It's the biggest deal to me.
Yeah, that is sad. You don't want to do
sad.
That.
It's sad. No, absolutely not. Please study.
Practice.
Please work. Please practice. Okay. What good is it if you don't know how to use it? Okay. Thank you. And that's what I just might beat your ass if I find out.
And
so
that is that
it.
Deep.
It is that, and that is that
if
deep.
You're lucky.
Thank you. Also, thank you. If you're lucky, if you know what, if you keep trying, maybe you could get that deep.
Maybe we'll see.
Maybe study up for Professor Diva. Okay, thank you. And the second song, because men have been pissing me off.
Sure,
it's a throwback. Semi Ain't Shit by Doja Cat.
A modern classic of sorts.
Modern classic. It can't go quite for the kids, so it's gonna go here. Her beautiful classic, Niggas Ain't Shit. And men have been driving me up the fucking wall lately, as is their favorite pastime. So I have just been walking through my house saying my favorite part from the song, which is, I'm not your mommy, nigga. Go find a hobby, nigga. Return you for I picked you up. Your shit's in the lobby, nigga. I'm not gonna key your car. I'll call your fucking mom. You shouldn't pay my rent. Go get a fucking job.
That is really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think about that last bit a lot because most of it is not something I can...
You can't.
...sing along with.
Yeah.
But that last part is very satisfying.
And I love that she sings it in the toad voice. You should have paid your rent! Go get a fucking job!
It's really good.
Yeah. So that's where I've been.
See, I've been in a much more fun and flirty headspace, I guess.
I love that. Take me there. Let me visit.
Yeah, well, I mentioned I've been, like, back on the apps and, like, you know, it's
yes,
been
baby.
Going all right.
Okay, it's been going. It's been going. Baby.
I'm meeting people, right?
Okay, baby.
Just in time for my elderly whore era that is perhaps beginning.
My favorite kind.
Yeah, my geriatric slut era begins now. And I needed a slut of a certain age to arrive.
Yes, absolutely. And she heeded the call.
Robin, thankfully,
yes,
did heed the call.
Yes.
Her new album, Sexistential, will be dropping soon, I think in March. I am so excited because Dopamine was good, especially that remix that we talked about the other week. But this song, Talk to Me, the new single, is so good. Have you heard it yet?
No.
It's so
Oh, wait, yes. Talk to Me? Yes, yeah. I have. Oh, out of like Sexistential and Talk to Me, Talk to Me is definitely where like I've been living.
Yeah, Sexistential is like she's, you know, having fun, but it's a title track, it's a thesis statement, it's not the bop.
Exactly.
The bop is Talk
no.
to Me, which is
the bop
a
is
song
fucking Talk to Me
about masturbating while someone tells you what to do.
Which is, you know, my favorite activity.
And it's incredibly sexy. It's a really,
it's so
really
hot.
Sexy
it's so
song.
Hot.
It's not as good by myself. So baby, will you talk me through?
Yeah, no, there's going to be a night where I put that on and baby, the towel will be down.
Very few people can communicate just sex in really honest, direct and real way in a pop song the way that she does. It never feels
It never feels forced.
It never feels forced. Mm-hmm. It's always a little silly, a little funny, but really hot in the same way that good sex is.
Honey, perfect example.
Yes.
Speaking of honey, we
that
got honey
video
on the
is
brain.
So sexy. The
it's
video
so
for honey.
Fucking sexy. Oh, God. She just gets it in the way that, like, you got to have well-aged pussy to be able to do,
to be able
like,
to
execute.
Do that.
Uh-huh, exactly.
100%.
You gotta have fine wine. You
that's
gotta
a pussy
have,
with
like,
a fine vintage is what that
absolutely.
Is. And I needed her and she knew.
Age.
And she arrived right in time with an album about being a horny old bitch.
Yes.
Right as my 38-year-old ass re-downloads the app. So it's important and I appreciate it and I appreciate her and I can't wait for the album.
Thank you, Queen. I'm so stoked about this.
Because the thing about a Robin album is that the best songs are always like random deep track. Like Call Your Girlfriend was like the fourth single from Body Talk.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like she's always got some jewel hidden beneath that we haven't even seen yet.
Uh-huh. Ah, great pick, babe. Great pick.
Well, that I think will do us for this week. We will be back next week with more developments because the world
develop
just keeps turning.
It does. It won't stop.
In the meantime, you should check out our coverage of Vanderpump Rules on the Patreon as Jordan makes her maiden voyage into the Bravoverse. We have decided that we're going to proceed directly into season two because it really matters to me that Jordan not get spoiled about anything up through season two of Vanderpump Rules. And the longer that this goes on, the more spoiler danger we encounter. So we're just going to blitz through to the end of season two. So
we're gonna shoot into it.
Please feel free because I don't want you to get spoiled either.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited for this. Connor has been hyping up season two so much.
I would stop, but it is like the first season of The Sopranos. Like, I don't think I could be like, it's that good.
No.
And then you watch it, you're like, it was fine. It's like, no, like, it is that
thank
good.
Thank you. It is that good. It is that good. And I need to be fresh. Like, I'm already, like, the foreplay has been astounding and I need to come. So I'm going to when we watch season two.
The season one finale this week. Next week, we'll be doing the reunion and the secrets revealed as one episode. And then we will be right into season two. So get excited and join us.
And you want to hear the finale, baby. You want to hear
the
finale.
We had a lot of fun. And we're having
so much fun with this. We are. We did a live reading. And I really, I had kind of lost my voice, which made me channel like Stassi's emotional monologue very well. So you're going to be able to experience that and you need to. It's important for you to live.
An important thing that might be of interest if you haven't been listening, but you are someone who likes Bravo, is that a lot of the shadow work that we're doing rewatching this show together is that Jordan in many ways is Stassi and I in many ways am Sheena. So there is a... There's a lot of shadow work happening that's been
fruitful. Oh, no, it's been therapeutic. There's things that have been gleaned that I've been taking into my
personal life. We're growing.
Uh-huh, yeah. I've seen some dark reflections cast upon my walls, and it's made me take stock.
It makes one assess, you know?
It does. And, baby, I've been assessing. I've been going through a fine-tooth comb.
Vanderpump Rules is a dark mirror through which we all perceive ourselves, and the powerful thing about it, I think, at the end
of the day. Absolutely. And we simply are just duty bound to be better than what you're seeing on screen. So the work must be done.
Before we wrap, we have to thank our Gigabits tier members for supporting
the podcast.
Giga those bits, baby. Thank you, as always, to Daniel Castrillon,
Ryan Felber,
Cole Weathers,
Jimmy Chancois.
The baby voice freaks me out. Logan Clark.
I don't care. Joey Quotes.
Lily Leckler.
Oh, Jason Romano.
Morgan Kelly. And
Brand new Mia Arts. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Mia, for sponsoring the pod.
Mia, I love you. Oh, my God. You have me hot under the collar, Mia.
You can support an independent podcast and me paying Jordan by subscribing to The Kibitz at patreon.com/kibitzcast for just $5 a month or 10 if you're nasty or 25 if you would like a special shout out and the ability to ask us pretty much anything and maybe have us answered on the show.
Period.
Probably if you pay us like that. So
yeah, exactly. 10 if you're nasty, 25 if you're a downright freak, which you want to be. which you need to be, really.
Love you. See you soon. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye, babe.
The Kibitz is a Cerebrocast production hosted, produced, and edited by Connor Goldsmith and co-hosted by the brilliant Jordan Block, with key art photography by Maxwell Poth and graphic design by Casey Knapp. Check out patreon.com/kibitzcast for more, including the Kitty Bitty, a regular bonus episode exclusive to the Patreon. Cerebrocast Productions, pop culture podcasts that make you think.